It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning going to keep one downfield. Pass the defense is Cruz, who's got it at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 70 yards. Salsa time and Big D. Victor Cruz with another.
Play fake. Freeman back to throw. Under pressure. Heaves it downfield. Intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15. Cuts right back to the 20. Looking for a block up to the 30. And drag down there.
Manning takes the snap. Back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline. And it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Golzine takes the snap. Pass
intercepted as he threw it right. Picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul. And he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, the 28-yard TD.
Now, here's your host, Lance Medem.
As well as Anita Marks this morning, so glad you could join us on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. You can also chime in on the conversation via Twitter. Follow and interact with us at Anita Marks at Lance Medem using hashtag Giants Chat with you for the next 60 minutes on this Thursday morning. Two practices in the books for the New York Giants since training camp started on Tuesday. We'll get to all the latest news and notes. We'll also get to your phone calls and your tweets. Let's start on the injury front as we normally do each and every morning. The good news is Jameel McClain returned to practice yesterday. It is still a sore foot. That is the classification. But he was very much in the mix, was not necessarily limited. Tom Coughlin addressed reporters after practice, and the outlook is very positive regarding that. So that was certainly a step in the right direction. Not as many heat-related injuries yesterday as there were on Tuesday. So there's really no new injuries to note other than Odell Beckham Jr., who had a hamstring issue, if you recall, during the course of OTAs in minicamp. He re-aggravated that hamstring injury, so he sat out practice. In terms of the timetable for his return, that is up in the air. As you know, hamstrings are tender, and it's one of those things, if you play through it, you can easily aggravate it, and then you wind up missing a boatload of weeks. So at this point, I think the Giants are taking their time with Odell Beckham Jr., and they're not necessarily looking to rush him. He did miss some time, as I mentioned, during OTAs and minicamp, and the last thing you want to do, Anita, is press him and push him, and then he winds up being sidelined for about a month or two.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you hear what Tom Coughlin had to say, if you hear what Jerry Reese had to say, there's some disappointment there. I mean, this is their first-round draft pick. As we know, Hakeem Nicks makes his way to Indy. When you look at this wide receiving core, you got Victor Cruz, and then a lot of question marks. Can Reuben Randall turn the corner and become that wide receiver that I think we're all anticipating him to become? Mario Manningham, his knee situation, how much will he get back to true form? We don't know. And you invest a first-round draft pick in Odell Beckham Jr., you want to see him out there. You want to see him participate in OTAs. He had this situation in OTAs. You want to see him out there in training camp. You want to see him be explosive. This, we talked about it yesterday, Lance. This offense and how it's designed, and I hate to use the word dink and dunk, but that's pretty much what it is. And it relies so heavily on the yards after the catch, and that's why they went and drafted an Odell Beckham Jr. as opposed to who the wide receiver from FSU, Benjamin.
Calvin Benjamin.
Yeah. You know, there's a reason why they drafted this type of wide receiver, I believe, because he fits the system better than any other wide receiver that was out there that was available. So there's a lot invested in him, and they want to see him perform. So, you can't control injury. I just hope the young man, he's really a fantastic young man, and I think he's going to do great things for this organization. But I can see and you can hear and read between the lines when Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin talk to the media, there's some disappointment there.
I think there's frustration across the board no matter who goes down. But like you mentioned, specifically when you're talking about a guy that you invested a high pick in. But I just go back to the fact that if you rush a guy and you put him out on the field when he's not ready, you're going to be looking at not getting your top rookie back until midseason. And the last thing the Giants want to do is wait for Odell Beckham Jr. to make his debut in November. You look at Miles Austin, for example, a wide receiver that is familiar with this division, and I'm sure Giants fans are familiar with, dating back to his days with the Dallas Cowboys. He's now with the Browns, and Austin dealt with hamstring injuries year after year, and they didn't necessarily have him. Adrian Robinson, you know, another guy that was never fully healthy, came back, re-aggravated injuries. It's probably better off to play the conservative approach and have him ready to go when he's ready to go, as opposed to just trying to force him out there to get another practice in or two.
I totally agree with you. I think the frustration stems with the fact that it's kind of been like this since day one. It's been like this through OTAs, and now here we are in training camp, and this is the time that I think they want to see what their first round draft pick can do, how he can deliver, how he can mesh in the system. Listen, we heard Eli Manning come out, and Eli Manning was so blatantly honest. And he said, listen, I'm nervous. I'm like a rookie in this system. It's a whole new system. It's like it's learning a foreign language, and as a quarterback having to try to communicate that new foreign language to, 10 other guys in that huddle and try to execute. So if Eli Manning is nervous, how do you think the other guys on this team are feeling, Lance? So
Especially someone like Beckham, who's adjusting to now life in the NFL on top of that.
Exactly. And this is a much different system than they ran at LSU with Les Miles. So it's imperative. It's important that he's out there running routes, developing chemistry with Eli Manning, understanding this playbook, digesting this, being able to execute this playbook. At this rate, he's probably not going to be able to play in the first preseason game. So I understand the disappointment. But you're right. I mean, you don't want to rush him back, hurt the hamstring even further, where now maybe you don't have him at all for training camp. No, you don't. You definitely don't want to do that, Lance.
The positive is, and you were touching on this earlier, Nita, the fact that this offense is going to rely heavily on yardage after the catch, damage after the catch, as I like to call it. I think there's a number of guys, in addition to Odell Beckham Jr., that have the speed and the versatility where if they are used in open space, they can pick up the slack that's missing from, let's say, an Odell Beckham Jr. You look at David Wilson. You look at Rashad Jennings. You look at Victor Cruz. You look at Jarrell Jernigan, who flashed here and there towards the end of last season. I think there's a number of guys that fit that profile as opposed to being wide receivers who just need to make the big catch, similar to Akeem Nicks, who was here for a few seasons.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the Giants went out and spent $100 million on new faces, new names, and new talent to help accentuate this new offense. And what I like about it is they brought in players who fit well in the system and are going to help make the system work. So, it's an exciting time. Actually, I saw Rashad Jennings this morning, and as you know, and he knows, I'm really big into fantasy. And so he said that he's getting blown up on Twitter in regard to fantasy. And I said, yeah. I said I'm actually getting a lot of questions about you. I guess the big question mark is now that David Wilson has been cleared to play and practice, who's going to be the starting running back? How is that backfield going to work now that there's a big buzz about Andre Williams as well? Is it a three-headed monster in the backfield? What round is it safe to draft Rashad Jennings in my fantasy football team? So I said, yeah. I said, and he's like, I'm getting, not only am I getting it on Twitter, but I'm getting friends texting me. So he was really thrilled about it. I mean, he's pretty pumped. He's pretty excited that he's getting an opportunity here with the Giants.
And he should be after really blossoming in Oakland last season once McFadden went down. You know, this is a running back, you have to remember, that was not prominently showcased during the course of his career. He was a backup to Maurice Jones-Drew during Jacksonville. Then he missed a season due to injury. He comes to Oakland. You're now the backup to McFadden. McFadden goes down, you shine, you prove your durability, and he was able to reward himself with a new contract. And he comes into a Giant system that has injuries of its own with David Wilson, who's now thankfully back. But, you know, this is going to be a backfield that has a lot of versatility. Still going to come down to the offensive line, no matter how much we talk up this running back group. But on paper, I agree. I think he's got a tremendous opportunity to really do plenty of damage. Two other notes that I want to get to before we head to the phone lines at 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. We'll get to your tweets during the course of the program. You can also follow and interact with us both directly at Anita Marks at Lance Meadow, last name M-E-D-O-W. Jim Herman, the linebackers coach, addressed the media yesterday, and there was one quote that really jumped off the page to me. And, you know, he went over his thought process about what Beeson and what McClain are bringing to the linebacker core, but he emphasized something that, you know, may be somewhat of a cliche and is a generalization, but I thought it really holds true for this group in particular, the fact that everybody needs to know multiple roles in this linebacker core. And I just want to quote what Herman said. This is what he said. Quote, I think as a whole, the group is very flexible. We all understand that we have to be able to play multiple positions. There's only 46 uniforms given out on Sunday. You might have five. You might have six linebackers, period. So someone has to learn double duty. And to me, that's the greatness of the game. When you have smart guys like we have in that room, the flexibility for a coach is great. You love it because you can insert a guy here and then. Oh, shoot, something happened over there. You can take him from over here, stick him in there. It's like playing dominoes. Flexibility is great. You can't have guys that can only play in one tiny role. You can't do that in the NFL. You have to play multiple positions, end quote. And Anita, we're starting to see that on the practice field where, you know, he's just throwing guys in at the Sam. He's throwing guys in at the Will. You're going to have a lot of versatility, assuming everybody stays healthy by the end of training camp, where Devon Kennard, the fifth-round pick, he's not just going to be used as the middle. He's going to be used on the outside. And the same thing with Paysinger and the same thing with Jaquan Williams. And I think in this group, considering McClain and Beeson are a little banged up, you want that so that you go into week one, let's say one of those vets are down, it's not all of a sudden baptism by fire for one of these guys.
Yeah, and we talked about it yesterday, Lance, and that is, you know, I think one of the silver lining here, even though you've got McClain who's dealing with a foot issue, who, mind you, practiced yesterday, was sore. Herzlick started with the first team at the mic, at the middle linebacker position. But McClain, at least McClain was out there and he was practicing. That was a good sign. Beeson not having surgery, expecting to be back. Now, is that regular season game one? Does he get put on the pup? Do we see him game three? Do we not see him till game six or seven? That only time will tell. But this is, in my opinion, this is the most athletic, this is the most talented linebacking core that I've seen since I've been covering the Giants, and I'm going on my fifth year. I mean, please tell me if you think I'm wrong or if you agree with me. But and granted, I know you alluded to the fact that, yeah, on paper it is. Now, you know, how will that play out this season? Well, I have some hefty expectations, especially Beeson being a leader. And that's a big role for a Mike linebacker. You know, not only are you the extension of the coach on the field, you're wearing the headset, but also you're a leader of these men. And Beeson and Roll, that 1-2 punch, I think that they could lead like no other. So.
Well, and that's important, Anita, because you lose now Chris Stee, who everybody wasn't necessarily expecting to lose. So the veteran leadership that is going to have to pick up the slack is going to be another key component to watch. And John Beeson, who comes in middle of last season and already earns a great deal of respect from his teammates, it just says a lot about not him just as a football player, but him as an individual as well.
Real quick, Lance, we have a question here from Laura on Twitter. And by the way, you can hit us up on Twitter at Giants. Did Odell have hamstring issues in college? And in fact, he did. This is something that has been lingering. Did it keep him out of practice at LSU? I don't know. I didn't follow LSU's practice schedule, but I saw what a playmaker he was in college. So, you know, this is an issue that he has had. Keep in mind, this young man, he's a track star. He's a soccer player. If Odell Beckham Jr. wanted to pursue a career in soccer, he could have. I mean, that's how good he is. And this is something that track stars, track athletes, this is something they deal with, tweaked hamstrings. So I don't think this is going to be a one-time occasion. I think this is something that he's going to have to maintain and manage throughout his career. But we've seen what he could do at LSU and the plays that he made for the Tigers, and hopefully he can make those here.
The other thing is, I get back to the transition, which I was touching on earlier. You know, the practice schedule is a little bit different. in college versus the NFL in terms of the restrictions in the NCAA. So, you know, I think he needs to also mentally and physically prepare his body for the grind of getting through a week-to-week grind here and schedule.
And not only that, the length of the season. I mean, the NFL season is so much more grueling and lengthy that that is one of the obstacles. When you talk to college players, the transition going from college to the pros, you hear, oh, the speed of the game, the speed of the game. Yes, but also the length of the season is much longer. So hopefully he'll stay healthy.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. As Anita mentioned, Twitter, a big part of the program. Hashtag Giants Chat. You can also follow and interact with us directly at Anita Marks and at Lance Meadow. We're going to get to your phone calls. Get a feel for what the fans are talking about this morning. We start with Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, what's happening?
Speaking of injuries, if you remember Jim Finn, fullback, New Jersey native out of Teaneck, I watched, he was on the news once, on the regular news, and he had an issue, he said, with hamstring injuries. And then he started working with his trainer, and they focused on the hamstrings. Ever since that new training technique, he was, you know, hamstring injury free. So they need to look up Jim Finn's trainer. And linebackers, what about Michael Boley? Is he like me? Is he too old to make a comeback?
Well, Michael Boley has had some issues off the field as well, and he's still a free agent. He was picked up by the Bengals late last season after the Giants cut ties with him. But, you know, at this point, I think the Giants feel pretty confident in the young nucleus that they have and some of the guys that have a few more years under their belt after dealing with some injuries in previous years. And it was brought up yesterday, Andrew, that, you know, the Giants should look at the market. And I keep getting back to the fact if a guy is still on the market right now, Andrew, there's a reason why he's on the market.
Right.
So, you know, I don't think the Giants are in the situation where they're hitting the panic button and they're saying, oh my God, we just need to bring in a few bodies. There's enough guys here that they can get by right now.
Also, keep in mind, you know, when you get towards the end of training camp and teams have to play a numbers game, there are a large percentage of players who coaches don't want to cut but have to cut because they have so much depth at that position. And there will be a few teams that are going to be cutting linebackers. There will be a few teams that are going to be cutting tight ends when they have to do those number crunches, Lance. So, you know, this very well could be a case where, well, it's sit and wait. Let's see what tight ends can't make those numbers, but they're good tight ends. They could add a lot. And you know what? This team doesn't have a lot of depth at that position. Or that tight end might be better than the tight ends that are on this roster right now. So just because the Giants aren't making moves right now to go out and bring guys in, maybe it's just a wait and see. See who's cut when the numbers game does play a factor in training camp, and they'll bring somebody on a little bit later on.
That's what I wanted to ask. How do the tight ends look so far? I know it's only a couple days, but what about the tight ends?
Well, I saw Adrian Robinson over the last few days of practice, and, you know, he's taking advantage of his opportunities, and I tweeted this out yesterday. And, you know, as you mentioned, Andrew, it is only one or two practices, and, you know, they don't have full pads on and everything, so you can only read into it so much. But all you can ask out of a guy like Adrian Robinson at this point is stay healthy, prove durability, and when your number's called and Eli or Ryan Nassib or Curtis Painter throw you the football, make the catch and prove consistency to the coaching staff. And from what I've seen, I think he's answered that call right now.
Good. And my final comment, I don't know, it sounds a little like a contradiction, but I think both offenses, Gilbride and McAdoo, are both well-suited for Eli because Eli's intelligent. So the more complex Gilbride system fit him, and also the more simplified offense. I always think of Eli when he was in his rookie season. Even when he was not good as a rookie, he excelled in the two-minute offense. So he's always been great in the two-minute offense. So I just see like a more basic style, I think, kind of like reminds me of the two-minute offense. So I think if the players are healthy, he'll excel in this offense too. That's my, what are your thoughts on that? that it's like a two-minute offense. Thanks, guys.
No problem. Thank you for the phone call. It's really not like a two-minute offense, but I do want to comment on this. When I think of Eli Manning and Peyton Manning, I think of more cerebral quarterbacks, and I think that's why Eli thrived so well in Gilbride's system, because it was probably the most intricate, thought-provoking offense I think that was out there. This offense that McAdoo has brought in, and we talked about that yesterday as well, is not only obviously you need to have the cerebral aspect to understand it, digest it, execute it, communicate it to the other guys in the huddle, but we talked about having that element of athleticism to be able to perform it. I'm excited for it, and talking to it, and curious to get your thoughts on this, on the offensive players that you've spoken to since camp began, Lance, in the OTAs. Guys are really excited about this new offense. There's a buzz out here. There's an excitement. It's a new day. It's a new feel. It's a new vibe, which is cool. It's cool to be around, and it's cool. It's really cool to hear guys talk about it, and for these offensive players to be as excited about it as they are. Agree or disagree?
Well, I think that there's a buzz also because there's so many new faces in the mix. And for them, of course, it's a new offense because they weren't with the Giants during the old regime. But for guys like Eli Manning, and he talked about this at great length, yes, he feels challenged. That's why there's excitement / nervousness, because it's something new. It's almost like revisiting your rookie season again. Because remember, since Eli came into the league, he only ran one offense. Now, this is his second offense. So I think that explains why there's a mix of emotions across the board. In terms of Andrew's comment about it's going to be just this unlimited two-minute drill offense, yes, it's not necessarily going to be that, but I think he does bring up a good point that it is a rhythm type of offense. And I'm not saying that Kevin Gilbride's offense didn't rely on rhythm, but if you're talking about consistent short passes, you're not necessarily going to the huddle structure all the time. You've got to pick up the pace. You've got to get rid of the football quickly. So I think it's going to have a little bit of a different rhythm, and that could bode well for Eli, which is what Andrew was alluding to, because when Eli seems to have his back against the wall, when he seems to have limited time on the clock, I think that there's enough of a resume and enough of a track record, if you look over the course of his career, that for some reason, he performs better, as opposed to performing when there's 12 minutes on the clock and we're in the second quarter. There's just something about the element when you put him in a precarious situation. You say, Eli, we need a touchdown. We need to get in field goal position. You have a minute to do that. He thrives. And I think this is going to promote that type of situation, not just during the two-minute drill, not just when there's 3 minutes left on the clock, but from quarter one through quarter four. And overall, that may be a real good wrinkle for Eli Manning, considering his track record.
Yeah, I'm excited, and I kind of I liked what I saw yesterday. We're actually doing a piece for the MSG show, and I'm sure it'll be on Giants.com for folks who have been out here at camp so far. There's a red line on both sides of the field. I want to say it's in between the out of bounds, maybe 3 yards. And so I was talking to a lot of the wide receivers and the tight ends yesterday in regard to that, and it's there. So it's kind of like a warning track for them to give Eli, I guess, more time. What have we been talking about? Yards after the catch. Giving Eli and the wide receivers more time so that if he can get the ball to them on those fade routes within those 3 yards, then they have more room to make moves to try to get more yards after the catch. So just little intricacies, little things like that Ben McAdoo is installing in this offense, which I find quite interesting, and I'm excited about it.
Let's get to some more tweets before we jump back on the lines. Josh Dunn at Dunny Villain: if the Giants knew about Odell's hammy problems, should they have picked either Donald, referring to Aaron Donald, or Martin, Zach Martin, as safer, healthier starters? Now, as Anita mentioned, I don't think that the hamstring problems were overwhelming, though, in college. He did miss some practice time. That was well documented. But it's not as if he was dealing with this every single week. So when we say he had some problems, I don't think that the baggage was as much as maybe when people talk about it, it seems. You could mention that, yes, they could have played the conservative approach and went with a healthier option. But, you know, listen, they felt that he had the most talent and the most upside, and that's why they chose to go in that direction as opposed to another position. It's still very early. For all we know, Odell Beckham's ready to go week one, does not miss one game. You know, right now, we tend to get caught up in these discussions because there's not a great deal of content to discuss. So, you know, we're analyzing one little injury. For all we know, Odell Beckham brushes this aside. It's only an issue now for a few weeks, and it's a non-issue come the regular season. I think we're reading a little too much into it in terms of saying, did the Giants make the wrong pick? There's a lot of other rookie wide receivers, remember, that didn't necessarily come into their own in their rookie year, whether you look at the Giants or you look at other teams across the board. So even if Odell is fully healthy, you know, when we always try to speculate, well, what are the expectations for Odell Beckham Jr.? If I'm a fantasy nut, what type of numbers should I expect from Odell Beckham Jr.? Listen, we could sit here and do that, but you have to remember, Victor Cruz is ahead of him on the depth chart. Ruben Randall is ahead of him on the depth chart. If the tight end has a prominent role in this offense, the tight end, you could say, could be very well much ahead of him on the depth chart, and the running backs are going to be involved in the passing game.
A few things, and you mentioned fantasy football, of course. You know I'm going to have to comment, Lance Meadow. But I don't believe that the tight end is going to be a huge factor in this offense. I think he's going to complement this offense. I don't think he's going to be a huge factor in this offense. I have more value on Odell Beckham Jr. in a PPR, or points per reception, than I do in anything else, as well as Rashad Jennings. I have more value on a Rashad Jennings in a PPR than I do. Again, this is going to be a dink and dunk offense. So PPR leagues, more value with all the players on this Giants roster.
Well, the only reason why I reference the tight end, and it is a bit of a mystery, from what I've seen in practice, though, in terms of Eli Manning's reads and Ryan Nassib's reads, it is a primary target. So it will be interesting to see where the tight ends are utilized.
But a lot of that, Lance, is because they don't really know this offense very well, and a lot of times your tight end is your security blanket.
Well, so but he should be your security blanket, though, during the course of the season, too. That shouldn't stop necessarily after training camp.
I'm not saying that it is, and I'm just saying I don't see the tight end position being a primary go-to for Eli Manning in this offense. I don't think that's how this offense is going to work. So,
well, I mean, like I said, it remains to be seen,
see,
but even
actually,
if you look at some West Coast offenses,
Eli dinking and dunking to Rashad Jennings and David Wilson more so than I do to whatever tight end position is going to be played.
Well, I think that's going to be a security valve, meaning if the play breaks down, you're going to see a lot of drop-offs to the running backs and maybe to the wide receivers. But I look at West Coast offenses, and I'm not saying that they're duplicating Green Bay or San Francisco, even though McAdoo has connections to that because of Mike McCarthy's ties. But when you look at how Vernon Davis is utilized in a West Coast offense, when you look at how the variety of Green Bay
Lance, there's no
tight
Vernon,
ends.
There's no Vernon Davis here.
Well, but even, for example, tight ends who have done nothing in previous years, there's a lot of guys that all of a sudden have blossomed depending on if their targets go up. It goes hand in hand.
I understand, but I just don't think we have that talent on this roster.
Well, but nobody said that about Kevin Boss or Jake Ballard, and it came to fruition. So I say we tend to just read into names. It's a name on a paper. At the end of the day, it could translate into something, though.
I'm not reading into names. I've been covering these guys. I know what these guys can do.
Well, but like I said, there's a bunch of no-name tight. Who thought Julius Thomas was going to put up the type of numbers that
he's
did last
Peyton
season?
Peyton Manning is his quarterback. You think Julius Thomas has that season in a different offense with a different quarterback?
There's a lot of other great quarterbacks in this league. I mean, just Peyton made Julius Thomas.
For sure he did.
JerMichael Finley's numbers went up.
I'm not saying that Julius Thomas is a bad tight end. He's a great tight end, but he wouldn't have that type of season. Let me tell you something. Eric Decker? Stay away from Eric Decker this fantasy football season. You know what I mean? Like, Peyton makes players, wide receivers. You know who I love this season? Emmanuel Sanders is going to blow up. I love Emmanuel Sanders. Emmanuel Sanders is 10 times the wide receiver that Eric Decker is, and now he's playing in that Denver offense with Peyton Manning as quarterback? That's ridiculous. And I'm looking at a lot of the mock drafts. That dude is falling like 6th, 7th round. Grab him. Get him. He is a huge sleeper for me this season. Peyton Manning makes players better on the offense. And again, I'm not knocking Julius Thomas. Dig him. Think he's a good tight end. But no way does he have that season if he doesn't play for Denver and Peyton Manning isn't his quarterback. No way.
Well, I think that was a big contributing factor. But, you know, Eli's done wonders for other tight ends, too. I mean, if you want to just pinpoint the quarterback and say that helps make a player, Eli's had a very good track record with all the tight ends that they've brought in and has been a primary option. And I understand that's the Kevin Gilbride offense. But, I mean, I still think Eli has the ability to bring out some keys in a tight end, regardless of whether it's a household name or a guy that you never heard of. Because I could reference, and I tweeted this out yesterday, JerMichael Finley, his numbers skyrocketed when he did nothing the previous season, if you go back to his record. Martellus Bennett, his numbers skyrocketed. Brandon Myers, remember that year that he had 79 receptions with Oakland? The prior year, he only had 16. And Carson Palmer was his quarterback. And Carson Palmer's no Peyton Manning. So, you know, I mean, I think it depends on the system, and it depends on how much targets they're seeing, not so much about whether or not you ever heard of the guy. And I think those are the other factors that need to be entered into the conversation.
I understand, and we agree to disagree. I don't think that there's enough talented, the tight ends that are on this roster right now, I don't think they are in the talent group of Vernon Davis or Julius Thomas, number one. Eli Manning is a great quarterback, but he's not a Peyton Manning. It's a different system. He's learning the system. He even came out the other day and said that he's nervous. He feels like a rookie in the system. I think that there's more talent at the running back position. I think there's more talent at the wide receiver position. And I think those two positions will be more utilized in this offense, trying to execute this offense, than the tight end. Again, it's just my opinion.
201-939-4513. Let's head back to the lines, and we go to David in the Bronx. David, what's happening?
Hey, Lance. How you doing, Anita?
Great.
Okay. I got some comments about this whole thing about Eli and the West Coast offense and everything. Bob McAdoo, I mean, McAdoo's system is sound. We've seen it for years, starting with the original one with Joe Montana and Bill Walsh. It's a sound system. I am more concerned about the skill set that Eli never learned from 2004. And this is now he's in the system where he has to do this. Eli has a propensity of not throwing the ball away when the pressure comes and coming back at it the next down or set it down. That is Eli's biggest problem. If he just throws the ball away, he can come back at it and go and get the yards that he needs.
Well, and I think that, Dave, this system calls for his decision-making to be a little bit better in terms of getting shorter passes out as opposed to waiting for the home run. So what you're talking about is, and you're right, it's been well documented during the course of the Kevin Gilbride system, Eli Manning's decision making wasn't necessarily consistent. At times he was looking to press the envelope, go for the home run instead of dropping off to the running back. But if this system calls for more of those passes, you would assume that his decision making would be crisp and would be on key day to day and week to week.
Now, as for the defense, Anita, I'm with you, girl. Marcus Coombs, my guy. You can't get there. That's one thing that cannot teach defensive linemen is when they rush and they get inside and put their push on, that they put those hands up and deflect passes. He, when he was in his rookie year, he had a propensity of doing that. I think Marcus Coon is going to get a starting job. As for the tight ends, this is how I'm going to call it. Xavier Grimble is going to make the roster, and he's going to be the number two for now. Adrian Robinson will get the number one, and maybe Kellen Davis or Larry Donnell will get the third tight end spot. As for the Giants' record, I'm optimistic because I'm seeing, I'm not looking so much at DeMontre Moore and Kiwanuka and JPP. I think you're going to get from Cullen Jenkins, Marcus Kuhn, and Jonathan Hankins, you're going to get around about 12 sacks right there. They're going to terrify the inside linemen. And as for the Giants' record, I'm going to go with put me down for 11-5. Okay, I'm finished, sir.
All right, Dave. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. 11-5, not many people going that high, but it is interesting to see the optimism out of some Giants fans. Good to hear early on here. You were going to say something, Ian? I'm sorry.
No.
I thought you were going to add to that. In terms of what Dave mentioned about the defensive linemen, Marcus Kuhn, Jonathan Hankins, and Cullen Jenkins, I mean, that'll be a nice rotation, and I'm sure a lot of those guys are going to get plenty of reps, and Kuhn is somebody that I've talked about even during the offseason who I think could be somewhat of a sleeper, given the fact that he's been banged up over the last few seasons. Hankins and Jenkins are being penciled in as the starter, but, you know, if Kuhn stands out during training camp, there could be a potential shakeup in this starting rotation.
Do you know his story from Germany and his dad, and do you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for fans out there, really quick, because I think it's such a great story. I love stories behind players and how they got to become where they are today. But Marcus Kuhn's family were on vacation. I want to say they were at Disney, and Marcus Kuhn was in the hotel room and he was watching television. He was watching American football, and he was just so enamored by it. His family went back to Germany, and he asked his dad, hey, listen, can we find out if there's any American football teams in Germany I want to play? So his father did, and so he was able to play in these club leagues and stuff like that back in Germany. And his father compiled a video of Marcus Kuhn playing football, and then him and his father flew to the United States, rented a car, and drove all up and down the Eastern Coast, the eastern part of the United States, stopping off in all these colleges, knocking on the door of all these athletic directors and coaches. This is my son, Marcus Kuhn. Here's his video. He wants to play American football. And so anyway, NC State gave him a scholarship. So that's how, you know, he got to play American football. And of course, now he's in the NFL. Wasn't that a great story? I love that story.
There's some guys, JPP didn't play a lot of college football either. He played 1 year in Florida and didn't play much in high school. So
USF, not Florida, USF, my. That's where I went to school, Lance.
The connections all over the place.
But no, I mean, just, you know, I just I love stories like that. You know what I mean? Like his dad, like investing in him and investing in his child. And then like, you know, father and son making a trip across the country, knocking on the door of all these athletic directors and finally getting a scholarship at NC State. I just think it's cool. It's a feel-good story.
Well, he looks the part like a football player now. It's all about whether or not it could translate onto the football field. Let's check in on some more of your tweets. I know a lot of you weighing in on the whole tight end debate. Let's take a look at what Fredo has to say. Well, they was debating about Brandon Myers last season. We'll leave the Brandon Myers debate for another time. Saraceno at SJS0816. Eli was saying he's nervous and excited, and Eli definitely compares to Peyton. How many tight ends left New York and aren't playing now without Eli? Talking about how Eli has done a lot for tight ends. Well, Martellus Bennett is being very productive in Chicago, and part of that is because they have a very good offense and a great offensive-minded head coach. Ballard had been with the Cardinals. Obviously, he hasn't reached what he did with the Giants. Kevin Boss never really did much of anything after leaving New York either.
Well, you've got Ballard. He had microfracture surgery. I mean, it's impossible. Like, I think it's really pretty much impossible to come back from that. So, unfortunately, towards the end of the Super Bowl win, he got injured. And you've got Myers.
Well, Boss was healthy. I mean, he moved on to Kansas City and so forth.
Yeah, but I mean, there was a reason why the Giants didn't match the $7
million
offer.
Well, I'm not regretting them not bringing him back. Yeah. I'm just saying the point is that Eli's done wonders with some tight ends, and they haven't necessarily gone on to continue that.
And
that was the point.
You've got Myers now in Tampa, and he's going to be competing for the starting tight end position there. So that'll be interesting. I think the issue with Myers last year is he's not a tight end that excels in an offensive scheme where you utilize him in the middle of the field. And Gilbride's system did that. Tight ends would hit, release, and they'd run like skinny posts, curl routes in the middle of the field, post corners in the middle of the field. That's not who he is. Brandon Myers is a 5-yard out. He's just not the way that he was utilized in Gilbride's system did not accentuate his talents. So it'll be interesting to see what type of offense Lovey and them run in Tampa. And he's going to be battling it out for that starting tight end position. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
And he also wasn't very comfortable as a blocker, too, in this system. I think that was another reason why he never really hit his stride. But he could very well bounce back at Tampa Bay. It's all about the comfort of the system. That's a big contributing factor, whether or not a guy can thrive. Let's head back to the lines. We've got Alfredo in New Jersey. Alfredo, what's happening?
Good morning, guys. First of all, thank you for taking my phone call. I was at practice yesterday, and let me tell you guys that I don't feel like any of the tight ends on the roster have the it factor. Watching Danelle, I heard what you were saying, Lance, about Robinson, that he's taking his chances and making most of it. But I just feel like he's not your hybrid tight ends. I mean, the position is evolving now. I feel like you have to be able to stretch the field. You have to be able to run every route on the route tree. And I just don't see it on right now. I don't see it on the roster. I felt very uncomfortable watching him yesterday. I just want to see what you guys have to say about that.
Well, I just said a lot about it. So.
Well, I mean, he was also hurt in previous seasons. So, you know, I mean, when we say that we haven't seen it out of Adrian Robinson, I mean, when have you actually had the opportunity to watch him? I mean, he's barely been on the practice field over the last few seasons because he's never been healthy. So, you know, I sort of cringe when I hear, oh, I haven't seen anything out of Adrian Robinson. He doesn't look like a hybrid guy. Well, tell me the last time you've actually sat down. And I'm not accusing you, Frater. I'm just saying in general, everybody says, well, I haven't seen it out of Adrian Robinson. That's because we haven't even had an opportunity to see him. Same thing with a lot of these other tight ends. You know, Kellen Davis and Daniel Fells, I mean, in the other systems that they were in, they were pretty much blockers. So I don't think the Giants brought them in and said, hey, you know, go out and run routes and we expect you to catch 50 passes. But if they have double tight end formations, which is a popular trend across the NFL, Fredo, they could have two guys in at once, and then Robinson doesn't necessarily have to be the blocker. Robinson could be the guy that runs routes, and then Fells or Davis, if they make the roster, could be the guy that blocks. So when we say that we want the all-in-one hybrid tight end, it'll be interesting to see how McAdoo utilizes tight ends. Green Bay utilized two tight ends on the field at some times. San Francisco, remember when Delanie Walker was on the Niners? Him and Vernon Davis were on the field a lot together. So, you know, we're not truly getting an opportunity to see how the personnel groupings are utilized time and time again. Once that happens during the preseason, then I think we'll have a better read on, okay, does Adrian Robinson truly have to be that all-around tight end, or can he be a guy that's just asked to go out and run routes and you don't have to worry about his blocking?
But do you feel like he's going to be able to stretch the field is my thing, because with this West Coast offense, I feel like if our tight ends are not a threat, I feel like our dink and dunk is not going to work. I feel like our linebackers are going to pin their ears back and not worry too much about our tight ends, and I feel like that's really going to affect our offense.
Well, if the linebackers are not focused on the tight ends, that means that you're going to have some open opportunities, whether it be down the field or in the short yardage. And you know what? If you can't run the ball that effectively, you'll take a 3 or 4 yard pass to the tight end because it sets up a more manageable second or third down.
That's, and one more point, guys. After watching Andre Williams yesterday, I feel like he's going to be the steal of the draft. I feel like we're going to have a running back tandem like we had in 07 where we had a three-headed monster. This kid is going to make a name for himself. I see him as like a stronger Bradshaw who can not only run between the tackles but has the speed to get around the corner. If I'm correct, I believe he rushed for like 2,000 yards in Boston College, if I believe that's right.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't aware of this, but, you know, he was up to win the Heisman. I mean, obviously we know he wasn't going to win it over Jameis Winston. In the season that Jameis Winston had at FSU last year, but you know, he got some votes. So I'm with you. I can't say enough wonderful things about the young man. I think he's extremely talented on the football field. You know, he wants to make a name for himself. He wants to really embrace this opportunity. He's got a really smart head on his shoulders. He's a very nice young man. He loves this opportunity, and I think he's going to make the most of it. So I'm with you. I'm expecting big things from Andre this year.
Well, guys, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, Fredo, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat. You can also interact with us at Anita Marks at Lance Meadow. Charlie is in Massachusetts. Charlie, what's happening?
Actually, it's Maine.
It's Maine. Okay, that's right. That's right. I figured it was the same Charlie that we normally talk to. I didn't know maybe you were moving around today. So how's Maine treating you today, Charlie?
Hey, well, just wanted to talk about Beckham a little bit with the hamstring issues. I mean, I have more faith in Manningham's knee than I do in a hamstring, because hamstrings can just linger. Miles Austin is a perfect example of that. But I'll tell you what, there is something, because I've had experience with this, and is Anika. You know, Anita, you know what Anika is?
Are we talking about the professional female golfer, or are we talking about the drug?
I'm talking about, it's actually a flower that's used.
You use it to limit bruising.
Yeah, and also it's great for pain, and my wife had a horrible hamstring injury. She did a water skiing, and I mean, it was black and blue, and she couldn't even walk. We had a carrier. We used Anika, didn't go to the hospital, didn't go anywhere, just used Anika, and that thing healed up in a week and a half, and another week later, she was fine. And this stuff is amazing. So if you see Odell Beckham...
should I bring in some Anika for him?
Yeah,
okay.
Bring in some Anika for him. That will help his hamstring. Believe me, it will really help his hamstring.
No, it does. It helps with bruising and blood flow.
Yeah, and it's anti-inflammatory. It's just great stuff.
Yep.
Something simple like that might really help the guy. So that's just that's one thing. And I'll actually pay for it. If you buy it and give it to him, tell me and I'll send you a check. How's that?
Well, we may have to throw your resume over to the head of the training department. You know, you maybe could do some consulting work on the side.
Hey, we'd be doing Qigong and Tai Chi out there.
you'd really spice things up.
Yes, I would. I would. And Anita was talking about coons. I'm not really sold on coons. They've got him really bulked up because I think they want him to, rotate with Hankin and be the run stopper. And I just don't know if that's, I don't think those guys are going to give us much in sacks. I don't think they're penetrators. I think Kelsey Quarles will be a guy who's going to penetrate. Watch out for him because I think he's going to stick on the team. I think they're going to go with 10 defensive linemen anyway. And, I don't know, Anita, or if any, you've been watching him or even Too Tall, D.A.K., Georgia Tech. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch them. I'm just curious how you think they're doing. Have they shown anything to you?
No, unfortunately, yesterday was my first day out here at training camp, and I was talking to the fans. I did a piece on the Red Line, and I spoke to the media about their most memorable Giants moment of any training camp. So unfortunately. I was not able to really pay a lot of attention to what was going on the field, but I'm back here today, so I do plan to pay a lot more attention. So,
great. Hey, Lance, are you there every day too?
I mean, Quarles is in the rotation to answer your question, Charlie.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as him standing out compared to the other defensive linemen, I wouldn't go so far, but he is getting reps and he's having an opportunity to prove to the coaching staff, but it's a learning curve for him. In terms of learning this new defense, I've seen some frustration out of him on the sidelines, but I've seen frustration out of a number of players, when they feel the play didn't necessarily go to their liking, and you can only read into that so much. I agree with you, Charlie. I think that they could keep 10, and I actually see the breakdown as 4 defensive ends, potentially as many as 6 defensive tackles. Quarles would be my 6th defensive tackle. That's right now on paper, though. A lot could change during the course of the preseason, but the numbers game that you're playing, Charlie, I'm in agreement with that.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. I don't have much today.
I'm stunned with the optimism, Charlie. I got to be honest with you. I mean, you actually said a positive about a player today. You talked about how you're using different treatments to help others in the family. I'm a little amazed in terms of the commentary this morning. I was expecting you to, you know, give us a rant about how this team is now going to go 5 and so forth during the course of the season, but you kept things positive. So on behalf of the entire Giants Big Blue Nation, we thank you immensely.
All right. Hey, when's John coming back?
John, I believe, I don't know if he's back with me tomorrow or it's Paul. He'll either be here tomorrow or be with me next week. I'm not 100%
all right,
sure.
So- All right, tell
well, you're already complaining about us. Now you want John.
No, no,
see,
no,
see
no,
I
no.
gave you the door
not
to open all. To complain. See, this is what happens. You take advantage of it.
Not at all.
All right,
thanks,
John.
Thanks, guys. Have a good
you
day.
You got it. Thanks so much for the phone call. 201-939-4513. We give Charlie a hard time. Moving along, Max is in NYC. Max, what's happening? Max, are you there? All right, Max is a man of very few words this morning, apparently. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Still fielding a few calls before we wrap up the program. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter, at Lance Meadow, at Anita Marks. Throughout the course of the program, you can follow and directly interact with us. Let's check in with Twitter. A few more comments here. Those of you weighing in, Philip Christian at Dragon T-A-T-T-T.
What?
How about the Giants running a wishbone formation sometimes? Andre Jennings and Wilson. We're really digging deep into the bag of tricks. I do not anticipate seeing three running backs on the field at the same time, Anita. I don't see that happening regardless of this new offense. But I think that it is safe to say there's an ample opportunity for more than one running back to get carries. I don't think it's going to be a one-man show this season. Although Jennings is probably going to be the guy, I believe they're going to do everything they can to carve out a role for Andre Williams and move David Wilson into the mix here or there as well, as opposed to previous seasons where maybe we've seen one workhorse and then Wilson came in as a complimentary back. You know, the Giants, I always go back to history, regardless of what offense they were running. The best year they had was when they had a three-headed monster. When they had Jacobs, when they had Bradshaw, and they had a third wheel, whether it be, you know, Ron Dane or anybody else that you could think of over the previous few years that has gotten an ample opportunity. So I think that the personnel in place calls for a rotation this season, and I don't think that they're necessarily going to rely on one guy.
What I love about it is that all three, Jennings, Wilson, and Williams, all three of them have such different running styles and can be utilized in so many different ways that I'm totally with you. I think our biggest challenge is we got to come up with a name, right?
Thunder and Lightning.
Well, no, we got
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Well, they had in the past, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got to come up with something creative. We've got to come up with something fun because I'm with you. I think it will be a three-headed monster back there. I think they'll all be utilized in different situations. And I'm expecting big things from all three of them this season. But we got to come up with a name.
Compared to other rookie running backs who have come into the Giants system, and Nita was touching on this earlier, Andre Williams, you know, the fact that he comes in with a wealth of experience from the college game, I think helps him a lot. It's not as if Andre Williams played 1 year of college football and then just said, hey, I was a Heisman Trophy candidate, look at me now, give me the football. You know, he's grinded it out throughout the course of his collegiate career. Yes, he is not necessarily a receiver, and he wasn't necessarily called in to be a blocker. And you know, Craig Johnson, the running backs coach, talked about the progressions that he's seen out of Andre Williams. And he said, listen, we're throwing him into the mix as a receiver. We're getting him out there so he's comfortable as a blocker. You know, they don't necessarily envision Andre Williams as a guy that is going to duplicate what he did in college. You know, they want everybody to be well-rounded. And I think that that's at least the game plan early on with respect to Andre Williams. So that's at least a positive. All right, let's try to fit in a few more calls here before we wrap up the program. Len is in Maryland. Len, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Len!
Listen, quick follow-up to your first caller of the day, Andrew, and also I guess it was Charlie from either Maine or Massachusetts. I wasn't sure where they were from, but both talking about health issues, and that's where I want to go. I know this is a follow-on to what I talked about yesterday, and you were kind enough to give me time to talk about this, but, you know, with Odell Beckham, obviously he put up some numbers in college that caught everybody's eye to the point where he's the 12th pick in the draft, right? And I'm glad the Giants drafted him. That's not the direction I would have gone, but, hey, they drafted him. He's on the Giants. He's my guy now. And he was right in with that group of players who, at 12, deserved to be picked. Now, to put up the kind of numbers to be the 12th pick in the draft, you got to be generally healthy. Right? All right, he has hamstrings issues. We got a friend. When I say we, I mean the Giants. We got a friend at LSU. The guy used to be one of our strength and conditioning coaches. And he left us and became the head strength and conditioning coach. McGonaghy, I forget his name, Lance, but you can refresh my memory if you think that's important. Point is, how did they get Beckham on the field? What are they doing down there? Do they have some old wives' tale, some sort of flower that the guy can smell, as Charlie was referring to? I mean, what did they do at LSU? You know, the key to success in the future for any team in the NFL, this is where I was going yesterday, and I won't take this much further, I promise you, is going to be availability of these players. Availability. Four games is better than none. Six is better than four. 10 is better than six. 16 is better than 10. We got to get these guys back faster. Every team does, not just the Giants. And that's going to be the next breakthrough. Because as Jim Herman said, there may only be five of us guys. You've got to learn to play multiple positions. You know, as Tom is referring to, I mean, there's only 53 slots. I only got 50. He sounds very frustrated about the Beckham deal. And maybe he's saying what I'm saying. Get this guy back on the field. Start with calling LSU and ask this guy, what did you do to get Beckham on the field that made him the 12th pick in the draft? Hey, the most exciting thing to me about this Giants team, and thank you for taking my call, most exciting thing for me this year about this Giants, what I'm really looking forward to, I'm looking forward to pace and tempo of play. I want to see whether or not, we're getting to the line of scrimmage a little quicker, we're snapping the ball a little faster, and I'm really anxious to see how they use these tight ends on the offensive side. Whether there's motion, whether we got a lot of two-end things, whether we flank some of these tight ends out. Now, you know, you can't fit a square peg into a round hole, but that's what I'm looking for against Buffalo. Mostly, I want to see Eli. I want to see this team out of the huddle, up to the line of scrimmage, snapping the ball. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to the season. I think we're going to have a good one, and good show this morning. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Len. Thanks so much for weighing in. I'm not exactly sure who Len was alluding to in terms of that former trainer. I was trying to look it up. But if we get that intel, we'll pass it along. The one who had ties to the LSU program as well as the Giants. The name didn't necessarily ring a bell. But if anybody wants to weigh in on Twitter regarding that, feel free to chime in. In terms of Odell Beckham's numbers in college, because that has certainly been a big topic of discussion this morning, in terms of how many games he has played over the course of his tenure and how many games he has missed. I'm bringing up Odell Beckham's stats over the course of his career just to give an idea of how many he has played. Once I get that, we'll pass that info along. But once again, I said at the beginning of the program, I think the hamstring issues are being blown out of proportion in terms of it being a trend in college, and it's automatically going to carry over to the NFL. Len's right. There is frustration on the part of Tom Coughlin. There's frustration across the coaching staff. I mean, you want your number one pick to get out on the field. You don't want him to all of a sudden be sidelined early in training camp. But, you know, let's see what transpires and what progresses. Remember, there was panic over Jameel McClain leaving practice over a sore foot, and he was back on the practice field the next day. So before we hit the panic button, I'm just interested to see whether Odell Beckham can even get back on the practice field this weekend. Who's to say that he can't? Let's head back to the lines. We got Tim in Jackson, New Jersey. Tim, what's happening?
Hi, I got a question to you. Well, Jimmy, I have a question regarding Odell Beckham Jr.'s hamstring injury.
You're referring to how much time he may miss, Tim, and appreciate the phone call, and we were just addressing that. There's no timetable. Hamstring injuries are extremely tricky. I was referencing Miles Austin at the beginning of the show, who played for the Dallas Cowboys, and, I mean, they could barely get him on the practice field. Akeem Nicks had dealt with some hamstring issues in his past. So, you know, it keeps guys out because if you rush them back, it's going to linger. And already Odell Beckham has re-aggravated something that he dealt with in OTAs and minicamp. So, I mean, they're certainly not going to throw him out there today. I'm sure he's going to undergo treatment and, you know, perhaps he'll get on the practice field next week because, I mean, he's got to get reps. They're not going to put him out in a preseason game if he doesn't understand the offense. So for the sake of his progression, there's urgency. But that doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to say, hey, you know, let's get you back on the field just so that we can get you X amount of reps, each and every day. Let's go to Adam in Ohio. Adam, what's happening?
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good morning, Adam. What you got? What's on your mind?
Well, first and foremost, I always enjoy Len's calls, but I got to disagree with him a little bit here. I don't think there's any secret that the LSU medical staff has that we don't. You know, the guy pulled a hamstring. It's the nature of the beast. It happens from time to time. Get him out. Get him right. Get him back on the field. You know, it comes, you deal with it. My question for you today, though, is there any indication as to who they want to emerge in that number two spot alongside Cruz, or I guess in terms of productivity, you know, who's getting the reps? Are they thinking Randall, Manningham, Odell Beckham? You know,
this is the year for Reuben Randall. You know, this is the year that he really needs to step up, turn the corner, and become that wide receiver that they're anticipating him to be. So, you know, if Odell's going to have this hamstring injury and not sure how long it'll linger, yeah, I mean, all eyes on Reuben Randall this year. This is really the year for him.
Well, you say if Odell's got the injury, so let's say he comes back healthy, who do they want to emerge? I mean, who are they trying to groom to get the reps?
Odell, no doubt. First-round draft pick?
Even as a rookie?
Yeah. Again, you got to pay attention to the system that's being implemented here. You know, Lance and I, we've been talking about it for 2 days. You know, there was a reason why they drafted that caliber, that type of wide receiver that Odell Beckham brings to the program because he fits this system and how this system can be executed properly and successfully is with his talents and his ability. You know, Eli, quick two-step, no longer than 3 seconds, dink, dunk, get the ball in the hands of playmakers who have that athleticism to go out there and get those yards. And those are the Victor Cruzes. Those are the Odell Beckhams. And of course, Reuben Randall.
Well, I mean, I don't disagree with you there, I guess, but the reality of it is, and I'm optimistic for him, but the guy's yet to take an NFL snap. So, you know, you're still saying that, all things considered, you're putting him in and you've got him to be the guy ahead of Reuben Randall already.
Yeah, I think I think you need to as well because, I mean, you're talking about a first-round draft pick. You have to go into a draft knowing and understanding that you're spending your first-round draft pick. That is your starter. That is the guy that you are immediately bringing on to this team, and you want to see the payoff in that. I don't feel that. That's why, you know, you talk about, you know, the draft room and the war room and the boards. You go after players that you know immediately can impact your team. And so I think that there's some big, hefty expectations for Odell. And I think as we opened up the show, Lance, I think that's why the comments that we've heard from Tom Coughlin and Jerry Reese, you know, read between the lines, but somewhat disappointed because he is a first. It's not like Odell's a third or fourth round draft pick. It's a first round draft pick. He needs to contribute this season. Needs to.
Well, but I guess the point that Adam is bringing to the table, and Adam, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, you're looking at it from a depth chart perspective. Now, for me to add into this conversation, I would say that I don't know if the depth chart really matters because in this offensive system, there's going to be a number of times where you're going to have three wide receivers on the field at the same time. So it really doesn't matter if Victor Cruz is one, Randall's two, Beckham's three, Jarrell Jernigan finds his way on the field. I don't think we need to get caught up in the depth chart. I also don't think we should overlook Ruben Randle. Anita's right. Odell Beckham Jr. should contribute. But, you know, contribute is a general word. I mean, that's extremely vague. I think they'd like him to be in the mix, have a jersey every week, and try to provide a game-changing play. But I think that Randle right now is ready to step in and be more consistent because he blossomed last year, but he's also been extremely up and down. And his rookie year, he didn't really see many reps because there were a couple of other guys in the mix. So Randle, to me, I still think that there's a lot more progression that Randle can show. And they'd be more content with getting Cruz as the number one, Randle as the number two, and Beckham in that mix with a Jernigan and anybody else who's lucky enough to make the team like a Mario Manningham. But, you know, don't overlook Ruben Randle. Randle showed a number of games last year where he was great, and then he showed a number of games where he was dropping passes and fumbling the football. So I still personally, and this is just my opinion, not necessarily the organization stands, Adam, I think Randle can have a huge breakout year. I don't think last year was truly his breakout year. There was still inconsistencies out of his game.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you there. And I guess maybe the defensive schematics we're going to see will also, you know, push the ball in the direction of Beckham or the direction of Randle. You know, maybe you just adjust to what you see. But, you know, I always have a little bit of extra faith in a guy who's taken some NFL snaps versus a guy who hasn't, no matter what he's done up to that point. So, you know, I was just wondering.
Well, Adam, I can tell you this. There's no way they're going to throw Odell Beckham Jr. out in a game if he does not put in the practice time and he's not 100% healthy. The only exception to that rule, if you look at Tom Coughlin's track record, is an Ahmad Bradshaw who would go through practice watching on the sideline and then would play. But Ahmad Bradshaw wasn't a rookie when he was doing that. He was a seasoned veteran. So the Giants don't have the track record, Adam, to say, hey, he may be a number one overall pick or our first round pick, and we're just going to throw him in there just because we need to count out of the fan base and prove that he's getting some return on that. So I don't think that's a concern. I don't think that's in the conversation. He gets on the practice field. He gets going in preseason games. He's going to warrant more of an opportunity in the regular season. He doesn't do that. I don't care whether he's a first rounder or a seventh rounder. He's not going to see many reps in the regular season.
Well stated. I appreciate you guys taking the call. Wish me luck. I'm taking the Ohio Bar exam on Tuesday, so that's why I'm off
good luck.
This week.
Hopefully we'll be testing you on torts and all that other good stuff next week.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Thanks.
Sounds good. I am very familiar. My sister's an attorney, went through all of that, so I know a few tricks of the trade. I'm not saying I'm a practicing attorney, but I could get down some of the jargon. I could have a good conversation with Adam in Ohio. We'll maybe get into all that good stuff next week. So that will pretty much wrap things up for us today. We will be back up and running tomorrow morning, as we do each and every weekday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. So we hope to hear from you on Twitter. We hope to hear from you on the phone lines. Any closing thoughts, Anita, in terms of anything else that we've discussed or what you're looking forward to today?
No, I mean, you know, I'm hoping that the rain stays away. It's supposed to have some bad weather. I'm hoping the rain stays away. I'm hoping the guys stay healthy and hydrated. And I'm excited to kind of see this offense continue to progress. So.
And that's what they're working on each and every day. I would say if you get everybody to survive practice, there's no heat-related injuries, and everybody's able to take part, that's certainly a step in the right direction, at least for week one of training camp. So special thanks to all the callers, all the listeners, all the tweeters throughout the course of this program. For Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of the day. We'll have updates all day long on Giants.com, and we'll be back tomorrow morning at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. Have a good one.